Har Shiva Sani Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundarar Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Gadraja Ki Jai. All glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories to some devotees, all glories Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, chapter 19, text 11. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Hiya Jaya Kupalabdaya. Hiya Jaya Kupalabdaya. Kalambahu Titambadre. Kalambahu Titambadre. Kamaira Nadia Pitushate. Kamaira Nadia Pitushate. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Hiya Jaya Kupalabdaya. Kalambahu Titambadre. Kamar Nadia Pitushati. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Hiya Jaya Kupalabdaya. Kalambahu Titambadre. Kamara Nadia Pitushati. Sambhara Vishana Sopi. Kamara Nadia Pitushati. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Hiya Jaya Kupalabdaya. Kamar Nadia Pitushati. Sambhara Vrishana Sopi. Ladies. Sambara Vrishna, Vrishna, rejoined with his testicle. Sa, he, api, also, he, indeed, Jaya, with the she-goat. Kupalabdaya, whom he got from the well. Kalam, for a time. Bahutitam, of a long, long duration. Badre, my dear wife. Mkamai, with such lusty desires. Na, not. Aja api, even until now. Toshiti is satisfied. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. Please repeat. My dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now, he has not been fully satisfied. Purport. When one is bound by affection for one's wife, one is attached to sexual desires that are very difficult to overcome. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, one must voluntarily leave his so-called home and go to the forest. Pancho Sordvam Vanam Rajet. Human life is meant for such tapasya or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at home and going to the forest to engage in spiritual activities in association devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmae Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Marubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajanam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajanam Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Dapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavane Shwe Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakopa Trubhyascha Kipa Sindhubheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivatsadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're in this section of the Bhagavatam. We're getting now finally the realizations of King Yayati. I don't know his exact age at this point, but certainly compared to our age, it's quite advanced. I think it said somewhere that he, after receiving the youth from Puru, I think he continued to live his youthful life for, well, it's 1,000 years, some fairly significant number. But after going through all that time with his wife, he finally realized, being a great soul, that he was not satisfied. He tried to enjoy married life to its fullest with his very beautiful wife. But after all that time, he finally realized that this lusty desires cannot be satisfied. They cannot be put out by continuous engagement. I was just reading a diary about Prabhupada, and he was making a comment about so-called yogis who come to America and other places in the West, and they preach their own style, that you can go on enjoying, and finally, one day you'll grow tired of it and be able to renounce. Prabhupada declared this was bogus preaching by cheating swamis and yogis, simply cheating the innocent public in the name of gathering some followers. They would cheat them into thinking they could go on enjoying and attain spiritual life at the same time. It doesn't work. Prabhupada was very clear about this from the very beginning. In July 1974, he gave a class on the first canto, 16th chapter, text 22. And he spoke about this, about modern civilization and how everyone is caught up in these lusty desires. So he said, so in this verse we find that due to mismanagement of the government, people will have no regular principle, even for taking bath or eating or sleeping or sexual intercourse. And another point is here, Vya Vaya Unmuka Jiva Lokam. They can give up eating, they can give up sleeping, they can give up everything, but cannot give up sex life. Vedic civilization is just to avoid sex life. And then he makes a point back to his own, the groups that his disciples came from, many of his early disciples. He says, just like these hippies. Hippie means they have given up bathing. They have given up eating. They have given up sleeping. But they cannot give up sex life. And everyone, not only hippies, Vya Vayan Mukha. Ultimately, so many yogis, incarnations, and others are coming in your country, but they cannot give up the sex life. You have advertisements, so many yogis, they are having sex life. So many incarnations of God having sex. You see, big sannyasis, swamis, long, long ago, some swami came here. And he returned with three women. We do not discuss. Many more. You see, the sex life is very strong in this material, in this age. The sex life should be regulated, not that anywhere and everywhere or any time. Therefore, population is unwanted. Then Prabhupada makes a statement aimed at household life. He says, not that anywhere and everywhere or any time. Therefore, population is unwanted. One irregular sex life produced somebody we all have heard of, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's mother was very sexually agitated and she wanted to have sex with her husband. And just in the evening, Kasyapa Muni, he said, no, this is not the proper time. It's not the time. But she was insistent. So the result was two demons were born. So everything should be regulated. But in this age, there is no regulation. There is no knowledge. Less than animals. They have sex life, the animals, at a certain period of the year, not always. But human being has become so low graded that then that is due to Kali Yuga anywhere, anytime. Therefore, it is very lamentable. Everything is topsy-turvy. There's no regulation. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that we are reforming the whole society. Very simple way. Chant Hare Krishna. You see, it's so nice. You see, these examples here. It's no story. Just like King Yayati, it's no story. Simply by chanting, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Although, so now in this verse it talks about renouncing, going to the forest. Prabhupada says here, there is no other alternative. Simply chant Hare Krishna mantra. Everything will be reformed. Life will be polished. Everything will be successful. This is Chaito Darpana Marjanam, human life. He is also a soul. The animal is a soul, everyone. But the human form of life is especially meant for God realization. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This is Vedic Vedanta Sutra. Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa. Not only human being, but everyone. Everyone less than human being, they cannot inquire about the absolute truth. They cannot ask a question like, what is the aim of life? What is the absolute truth? What am I? What is my relationship? These things are the subject matter for discussion in the human form of life. But, on account of Kali Yuga, the heart being full of dirty things, they cannot think of the aim of life and how to achieve it. That is called Kali Yuga. Therefore, so much fallen socially, politically, economically, culturally, everything, religiously, we are so fallen and downtrodden that the only method, as recommended in the Vayu Purana and other Puranas, Kalo Nasteva. Kalo means in this age of Kali, Nasteva, there is no other alternative. And factually, by spreading this Krishna conscious movement, we are seeing practical result. And now he's speaking again about his own disciples. The most wretched, most fallen, they are coming to life. They are understanding the value of life, the aim of life, and they are trying to be elevated more and more. Of course, it is an attempt. Not that anyone will be successful. But if everyone follows the simple rules and regulations, he will be successful. There is no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. The four simple regulative principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and chant 16 rounds. Very simple method. So, in 1976, Srila Prabhupada went to Australia from India and had been there after 1 year after installing the Gornitai deities. And he had prayed to the deities to inspire and elevate his disciples so they could properly follow the standards of worship, deity worship. So when he came back and saw this devotees on the deity worship, he was very pleased. The devotees were all chanting and dancing very enthusiastically, and the deities being taken care of wonderfully and gorgeously. Prabhupada was very pleased that his disciples had taken his request so seriously. But while he was there, disciples brought one politician to speak with Prabhupada. And when the man came in to speak with Prabhupada, he was a young man, a government officer. And he brought with him his very beautiful young secretary. And he tried to discuss with Prabhupada how he could take the principles Prabhupada has given, some idea from Prabhupada, and elevate the young people of his country from bad habits, especially I think he was concerned about intoxication. And Prabhupada made the emphatic point that if they want them to be successful, send them to our temple to be trained up. Then they will be able to do everything correctly and properly. But the man thought this impractical, and he was not inclined with that suggestion. So Prabhupada was very friendly and cordial with him, but after he left, Prabhupada made the point to his disciple to just see. He is coming here, and he wants to elevate, but his own standard is very low. He is bringing with him one beautiful secretary, and everyone knows why he is keeping such a beautiful secretary. He has no principle. He said he has no principle, but he wants to propagate and teach some principle. So in this way, Prabhupada condemned the state of modern society, where people follow nothing, nor are they inclined to follow, but they want peace, harmony, perfect life. It's not possible. Prabhupada's point was very clear. It's not possible. You cannot do this. You bring them to Prabhupada, you bring them to ISKCON, to be properly trained in the standards of spiritual life, chanting Hare Krishna, following the four-legged pentacle, associating with devotees. Prabhupada makes this point in here, that by associating with devotees, be able to give up all these bad habits and achieve the actual purpose of life. So this is very important. And we should not be confused when we're preaching what is the status of the people in general. People in general have no information about spiritual life. I think from the St. Augustine Ratha-yatra, they interviewed a few people in the newspaper. I don't know if anyone got to see that article. But they interviewed one person, and he was taught, she, I think it was a lady, girl, speaking about spiritual life. She liked the festival, but she had no concept of who God was. She said, God is everywhere. God is, you know, not a person. He just is everywhere, present everywhere. Nothing very specific. So similarly, another time, two young Mormon boys came to speak to Prabhupada. Prabhupada preached to them about Krishna consciousness. And they seemed somewhat pious and interested, but finally it came down to two points of disagreement. They could not understand. They had to give up eating meat. And it was pointed out that even in their own scripture recommends avoiding eating meat as a saintly path. And they, one of them agreed, yes, but we are not following. We cannot follow. But the other one was not so submissive. And he immediately turned and he said, yes, but you are worshiping idols. In other words, how can we accept what you say? You are going against scripture. You are worshiping idols. And Prabhupada tried to make a very clear point how these are not worshipped as idols. And we don't keep them outside where the crows are passing stool on the head like they do with all the other religious and political groups. We keep them and dress them very nicely, worship them. So this point was made, but he could not understand. Could not understand. So this is the difficulty. When one is acting against Shastra, against Scripture, cannot understand the laws of God. He cannot understand his own position. He cannot understand how to be elevated in the value of these principles. Therefore, society now is quite degraded. The Prabhupada again makes this same point in London. He's quoting one song, Krishna Bulia Jiva Bhog Vanchakare Pashati Mayatare Japatiya. After forgetting Krishna, one wants to lord over material nature, but he becomes captured. Especially in the Western world, everywhere attracted sex life. Miniskirt, so that other party may be attracted. So many means and ways they want to avoid the after results of sex life, contraceptives. The center of sex is sex life. They are giving up everything, hippies, but sex is there. They cannot give up. So-called giving up, but they cannot give up the real central point. So this is Maya. He's captured by this one idea, Mituna. Yan Mitunari Griyamedi Sukam Hitu Cham. Everyone is attracted by this sex life. We are trying to use this sex life in different ways. And Tripyanti Neha Kripana Bahu Dukha Bhaja. They are becoming diseased in so many ways. Sex life, indulgence of sex life means you will become diseased. So many diseases. That is a medical fact. But this movement is very scientific movement, authorized. Anyone who will take it seriously, sincerely, will be cured of this material disease and be happy. And so Prabhupada, in other time, he spoke very strongly and carefully about an example of a person who was able to do this. He spoke about Mahatma Gandhi. He said he had his wife, but he gave up his sex life. He was a family man. He had children. He had his wife. But from the age of 36, young man, a 36-year-old, he gave up sex life with his wife. That made him so determined that, quote, I shall drive away these Britishers from the land of India. And he did it. You see, he did it. So controlling sex life, to refrain from sex life, is so powerful. Even if you don't do anything, if you simply restrain your sex life, you become a very powerful man. People do not know the secret. So anything you do, if you want to do it with determination, you have to stop sex life. That is the secret. So, this is the point here Yayati is driving to. He wants to take up the path of renunciation and encourage his wife. That now we've spent so many years trying to enjoy these bodies, enjoying each other's bodies, enjoying material sense gratification. But now, let's give up this useless endeavor. We're wasting time. Now, give up all this material attraction and turn our lives towards Krishna. Completely, 100% devotion. So he's using his story to convince his wife, Devyani, that this is the time. Now it's time. So not that one should simply remain at home like a ordinary Karmi, enjoying his senses. But at a certain stage, he has to devote himself
10%
to spiritual realization. Without that, how can he hope to achieve success in life? And without achieving that success, what will be the result? Another birth and death. And one may think, oh yes, well, I will become an American and born in a rich family. It won't be too bad. Prabhupada said, no guarantee. No guarantee at all. So many examples are there in the Bhagavatam of great persons who made one discrepancy. They gave, by mistake, some cows in charity to someone, and he gave them to another person, and he had to become a lizard. And so many others. Bharat Maharaj became attracted to a deer, and he became a deer. What to speak of dogs and cats, so popular these days. Nana's thinking he's very happy with his dog, not knowing in his next life he may well be that dog. So, best thing is to save time, save energy, and make this life successful. And that is what King Yayati is realizing, and he is very magnanimous. He's helping his wife come to that same realization. Very responsible. So let us stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or comments, something they'd want to add. Yes, Satyananda.
The verse from Bhagavad Gita, Manishanam Sahasreshu Kasya Jatati Siddhaye, Yatati Api Siddhanam Kasya Mam Viti Tatvataha, that in many thousand among men one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So I was trying to understand, wouldn't perfection be knowing Krishna in truth?
No, he's thinking perfection means liberation. In this body. Those who are transcendentalists of various types may achieve this perfection of liberation, no more birth. There are still some yogis who are able to do that and not actually being devotees. But to become a devotee of Krishna is extremely rare. Then you're invited in Krishna's inner circle. So that doesn't happen to just anyone. Mahatma, did you still have a question? Then we'll ask
him. Why did it take Yayati so long to realize that he couldn't be happy?
Well, we can postulate some ideas. First of all, he was young. Second of all, he had a very beautiful wife who he was attracted to. Third, he had a longer duration of life than we do. How long, I'm not clear. But obviously it sounded like at least he had about 10,000 years. Otherwise, how could he live 1,000 years with his wife? And he was in a kingly position. Lord Chaitanya wouldn't even meet Maharaj Pachaparudra because he was a king, worldly minded. Anything he wanted, anywhere, anytime, just snap his fingers and he would have it. Worldly man. That was the identification. So Yayati was in that position. Anything he wanted, he could have instantly. He married Devyani, but so many other girls came with her. He had a whole house full of women. Young, beautiful women, how could he be not disturbed? unless he was fully self-realized. So many reasons could be there. But the real point is that he was elevated enough that he realized wasting time. First Lakshmi, and then we'll...
with people. But it seems that the culture we have now, or that we live in now, and even when Prabhupada started to preach to us, like he said, the lowest of mankind, womankind, there was a culture where it was starting to develop, because actually when I was younger it wasn't like that, but it gradually started to develop as I got to be like 19, 20, that sex, and not only sex, but acting in a way that doesn't have any restrictions in regards to sex, but in regards to everything, there's no restrictions.
No restrictions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no restrictions. So that society, Prabhupada kind of pulled us out of that society and put us in a very controlled environment, and he was rather strict, ultimately, with how we were supposed to live our lives. He gave us very clear guidelines, and he wanted us to follow them. You know, the four regulative principles are kind of a summary of those. They were, you know, the way we lived was rather Spartan, one might say. But we liked it. It was something we voluntarily did, and for many of us, it was a very enjoyable time. So now, most people that are taking up Krishna consciousness do not have that facility to kind of get away from the pull of the society at large and the sense gratification it offers. And even when you do get away from it, you find that people have, like, unlimited access to it on the internet or on the phone or they have credit cards, money. So even people who are coming now to Krishna consciousness, they're not really experiencing the withdrawal that Prabhupada wanted us to experience. And it seems like to enjoy Krishna consciousness or to get a taste for Krishna consciousness, one has to withdraw themselves at least from the majority of sense gratification. Yati, although he had sex with his wife, he lived a very moral and a very spiritually conducive life. So after 1,000 years, he got it, you know. But I could see where it'd be very hard to ever get it if you don't have a life that supports the development of the seed of bhakti. You know, one of the five panchanga bhaktis is that one lives in a holy place. And that means that the soil has to be ripe. Even with Jagai and Mata, even with Lord Chaitanya, he gave the chanting of the holy name. But the chanting of the holy name, when he told them, okay, you chant, and it's okay, but don't sin anymore. You know, you have to give it up. You have to give up that way of life, or you won't be able to take up this way of life. So I guess my question is, how do we... because most people are living with one foot on the platform and one foot on the train, and it's acceptable, it's even encouraged in some cases to associate freely with men and women, dress is kind of like whatever, and And so that atmosphere doesn't seem to me to be very conducive to even after 1,000 years getting it. So I'm asking how we can revive the desire or the situation that Prabhupada established for us where we voluntarily take on sacrifice so that we can develop a real taste for spiritual life.
Well, thank you for that description and question. I would say that Prabhupada, in different sections of the Bhagavatam and other places, makes a very strong statement that there is a brahmacharya ashram where it's meant for training. So there is a period of life, student life, that should be established for training. Now, practically speaking, we can see that even in a location exclusively for students like Gainesville Preaching Center, it's difficult to create that atmosphere, especially because people don't want to completely disassociate themselves from everything that they were doing, as we did, that was the atmosphere. You give up everything you were doing and take fully to the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness 24/7. And that was very powerful. But so we do see some other examples that may have some success. For example, they have a system in Bombay, Chopati, where they have a counselor system where senior mature devotees, they meet with and guide all serious committed newcomers in a path of spiritual life, even if they're married or not married. Of course, they have a brahmacharya ashram for the unmarried men, and that is very strict. So there may be some hope in that direction, but otherwise, the only thing I can recall that worked for some time was that we had a bhakta or bhaktin ashram, something like maybe you're trying to do for the ladies, where a person who is not yet initiated takes training for some period of time, hopefully a year or longer, where they actually live a simple lifestyle. And then they understand the seriousness of Krishna consciousness, but then there needs to be, if and when they move out of that environment, there needs to be a support structure. So they're not left on their own simply to fight with the external energy and exterior environment of Kali Yuga. That is not in place. Neither here nor most places in America. So it would seem that it would be in the best interest of preaching and success of Prabhupada's movement that we focus in on developing these elements for the benefit of everyone. That's all I can offer right now. I hope that was satisfying.
It even for a year or 6 months or whatever, because we're not doing the same thing. Mm. We're not, like nuns or priests, they take a vow, and monks, they take a vow of, what is the three? Chastity, obedience, and poverty. Mm. And basically that's what we did. We had the surrender closet. We gave all our stuff. We didn't have any money. We gave our our old car to the temple. And chastity is a given, and then obedience, this idea that you just, you take a menial position at first, you wash the, you just do whatever has to be done. And then gradually, by doing those three things, you come to, you purify yourself, you become free from being motivated by personal desire, and then you're able to make spiritual advancement. But creating an atmosphere in which people embrace those three things is, I don't know, is it possible? I guess that's what I'm asking. Can we still do it? Should we still do it? Is it still desirable?
Well, definitely, I think the experience is desirable to whatever extent it's possible. I know in trying to be a manager here in ISKCON that as soon as you say create an atmosphere, create a facility, immediately it requires so much capital, so much money to create that. It's not like simply you're living under a tree and everybody's satisfied. So much endeavor, and have a proper teachers, proper schedule, environment, engagements. These are all challenges. And perhaps even have teachers who have enough useful energy to keep up with the young people. That's also probably a little challenging. So I would say that we should definitely focus the attention of the society and specifically our community to try and find some steps towards solution to this, because we can provide a temple, we can provide service to the deity, but that, as you say, doesn't complete the lifestyle. Mahatma Prabhu.
One interesting example is in the Gaudiya Math, that as far as the householders were concerned, when they were given initiation, the instruction was don't starve the mala.
Don't what?
Don't starve the mala. In other words, good luck. Just do what you can. Kind of like, okay, you're a grihasta, you're out there, and, you know, whatever. But that was not Prabhupada's mood.
Well, I think that was a little understatement as to what I've read the mood was for the Gaudiya Math, at least in Prabhupada's time. Devotees, householders were expected to attend in their local area, if they could, some evening program daily. They were encouraged and expected to worship the deity at home. And they were expected to support the math, the preaching activities of the math. So if people are actually absorbed in doing these things, it creates a certain lifestyle.
Yeah, the point I was making is that it didn't seem that they were overly supervised or so much expectation as to the members of that were living in the temple. But my point was not to encourage that, but to give the example that Prabhupada had, which was short-lived and not repeated anywhere that I know of, except perhaps in the Holy Dham. In Los Angeles in the early 70s, when Prabhupada was buying up the temple, buying up properties around the temple so that the grihasthas could live near the temples, and then they established a business. So almost every grihastha worked in that business. And that business was centered around the temple schedule. So it started at 9, it ended at 5. And not only that, the salaries they were given were such that they were a little less than what you would normally get, but that money, less money they got, was considered a donation. And that business was supporting the school and other projects. So that way all the devotees were living pretty much like the brahmacharis, in the sense that they were fully engaged, they could attend the morning and evening program. So that's an alternative that was created so they didn't have to go out in the material world. And then I was just reading something Prabhupada said. He said, none of us should work outside. He said, but unfortunately we can't support everybody. So it was kind of looking at this dilemma. Like, we go outside and we create a problem, but how will we support everybody? But in that scenario, there was a system to support. And I was just in Delhi, and because of the project, there's so many devotees that are working full time. There's 200-300 devotees at Mangalarti. And half of them are grihasthas who are employed because the project is creating income. So it's a little more in that direction, where the grihasthas are living pretty much like brahmacharis.
Well, the ultimate point is creating association and attachment to that association. When we associate with devotees and we are attached to that association, then many things are possible. When there is no association set up or we're not taking advantage of it, then it is a big struggle. And if we're not attached to the association that's available, then we won't take advantage of it. It is a fact it's better to have an organized association. But something is better than nothing. I know when I joined the movement in 1975 and later on got initiated, I was initially living in the temple as a brahmachari. But I was working full-time outside in a job. And Srila Prabhupada saw me come up for initiation, not having a sikha, shaved head. He questioned why I haven't shaved my head. And the temple management then explained I was attending all the programs, helping the movement, and giving my salary donation. In those days, I was working in a computer programmer, and I would give 90% of my salary and live on the remaining 10%. And when Prabhupada heard that description, he made a comment later at that. He said, "Oh, he is a responsible officer." So I'm not trying to glorify myself. I'm just saying that there was another lifestyle there that was possible. Morning and evening class was always there, associating with devotees. On the weekend, I worked so hard with temple that coming back to
so it's out there.
It's a matter of whether one wants it and one cultivates that attraction. Last question here.
Difficulty, like she was wondering for an answer of how she could partake into letting go of sexual desires. I've been celibate for over a year, so I've actually gone through these difficulties myself, and being a young adult, I've experienced all the struggles, all the pain, all the suffering. The only thing I could share to her is basically you're going to go through the storm. Accept the suffering, the pain, the misery, the agony. Just accept it, because it's not the final phase. It basically the whole birth and death thing. Just go through it. And by the way, I'm breaking my vow of silence to say this because I feel it's valuable information. Go through all the negative feelings, and you will see in time that you will shed of the old ways, and you'll see a new, brighter horizon. You'll see the rewards that come along with it. It's almost having like new vision. You can see things more clearly. You don't have these like illusions blocking your vision anymore. Also, when it comes to speaking to men, Prabhupada, what I heard, he says that the only time we should be speaking to one another between men and women, is when you ask them to pass the salt. That should be like the most that they speak to each other. But you have your sisters to support you in all that you need, because they're there for you, you know. Men, there's some that are, even though they're grown men, they're still boys. They're still children within themselves. Then there's those who are actually full-grown men. They're fathers. You know, they can teach, give wisdom, for instance. And, yes, there are times when I feel weak and I do feel strong. When I do feel strong, that's when I stay close to my brothers, because that will not keep me from going astray. But when I do feel strong, that's when I feel I'm able to go through my way and speak to ladies and sisters like y'all. What else was it? Oh, well, the thing is, just to know the difficulty, this is all for educational purposes. I've had my own problems, the reason why I had to go through this transformation, because I was addicted to pornography for almost like 10 years, from when I was a child all the way growing up, and I've learned to let that go, and I have no shame or guilt because I've grown from that. It's almost a sense that people, they live in the same constant level of insanity. They want the same feelings over and over their entire lives. These sexual desires, they don't want it to change one bit because they find complete comfort and happiness and security within it. They are afraid to let go of that. They are afraid to grow and move on from that because they don't know what will be out of those boundaries. But what they don't know is right on the very other side of that is a sunrise so beautiful they can't see beyond it.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I think many of us in the very early days, well, I don't know, very early, but when Prabhupada was present, you know, we all came from very unrestricted lives, where sex was not restricted. But in association with devotees and in that strong environment, these thoughts disappeared. They went away. And it's so absorbed in trying to, in the process of Krishna consciousness and the wonderful activities that were going on, these thoughts just don't even come. So that's the key, absorption and good association. So thank you, everyone. It's getting a little late. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.